Welcome once again to our program, Everyday English. In this program, we're going to look at some of the common uses of the verb dare. The word means
have sufficient courage.
The verb has both a purely grammatical use, namely an auxiliary use, as well as that of a normal verb. As an auxiliary verb, it behaves like all modal auxiliary verbs. The modal auxiliary verbs include
can, could, shall, should,
will, would, may, might,
ought, must,
may, might.
One important fact that we should note about the modal auxiliary verbs is that they do not change their form to agree with the subject of the sentence. For example,
he will do the work if you ask him to.
He can do it if he wants it.
He will do the work if you ask him to. He can do it if he wants it. Now, we say he can, but not he cans. Similarly,
he will come, not he will come.
She may arrive soon,
but not he may arrive soon. From what I've said, there are three auxiliary verbs or types of verb which are not modal auxiliaries. These should be kept distinct. Now, they are
have, do, and be.
These are variable forms, and they agree with the subject in number. As for example, he has come, but they have come. The verb dare can have a modal auxiliary use as well as a full verb. We've said it can have a modal auxiliary use. In this case, or in this use, it does not change its form to agree with the subject of the sentence. For example,
he dare preach such ideas.
She also dare do the same.
I dare do it too.
So dare you all.
As you can see from these sentences, dare does not change its form to agree with the subject of the sentence. This is how all the modal auxiliary verbs behave. They are different from have, be, and do in this respect. These are also auxiliary verbs, but they are not modal auxiliary verbs. As you are aware, have and do and be change their forms to agree with the subject of the sentence. All the auxiliaries, both modal and non-modal, have a special way of forming yes-no questions. For example,
can he say such things?
Has he said anything?
Can he get some for us?
Dare he come here tomorrow?
Dare behaves in the same way as all the other modal auxiliaries in this respect. As an auxiliary verb, the verb dare forms its negative like all others. The word not occurs after the auxiliary verb. For example,
she cannot take it.
She will not be here.
She dare not take it.
She dare not be here.
You realize that these modal auxiliary verbs do not behave like normal verbs. For example, they do not form their negatives in the usual way. Dare also has contracted forms in the negative, like all the other auxiliary verbs. For example,
she daren't say such things to me in public.
She daren't say such things to me in public. Now compare this with other auxiliaries.
She couldn't say such things to me in public.
You realize that the word not has been reduced to NT or INT with the auxiliary. Here's another example of dare used as an auxiliary verb in the negative.
She daren't do that.
Full verbs in English do not form their negatives in this way. Full verbs do not form their negatives in this way. Now compare what you just heard with shall, another of the auxiliary verbs in contracted negative forms.
I shan't do that. I daren't do that.
But as observed earlier, the word dare can behave like any other full verb. For example, it can be used like the verb expect, which is a full verb. Now, just as we say,
I expect, you expect, he expects.
So also do we say,
I dare, you dare, he dares, she dares.
I dare, you dare, he dares, she dares, it dares. Now compare these pairs of sentences. Observe that dare has the characteristics of expect, which is a normal verb.
He expects to shock his boss.
He dares to shock his boss.
Do you see the similarity? They occur in the same pattern. Here are some more examples.
He doesn't dare to do that.
He doesn't expect to do that.
He expected to do that.
He dared to do that.
Why should he expect to do that?
Why should he dare to do that?
So you see, dare is an auxiliary verb, but it is also a main verb, having all the forms of full verbs. When used in either sense, it means be bold enough, have the effrontery or courage to do something. We're now going to listen to a dialogue. This part of the exercise to acquaint you with the acceptable uses of dare.
We met the Director General. You might be interested in knowing.
Did he receive you well?
He was very courteous, which surprised me. We suggested to him that if he expected us to give off our best, then we expected a little more kindness, courtesy, and humane treatment from him and his management.
Dared you say that to him? That was being daring.
Well, that's a good question. Neither Asuma nor I are given to saying daring words, let alone play the daredevil. But he encouraged us to talk, as I have said. This was something we didn't expect.
And it was in his interest that you talked.
Yes. And I dare say the Director General is a formidable man, but we were determined to represent the Union well.
Congratulations on being so courageous.
And thanks for your support. Josiah suggested to him that he and his deputy could be a little more open. Candor and mutual trust at this time would remove the fear which is now a barrier between us and him.
Although he is reticent, he is neither rude nor a daredevil.
No. I admired him for his calm. I felt tense, you know me, and I didn't dare look into the Director General's face directly.
That's the end of the dialogue on dare. We thank you, listeners, for your time and attention. And do tune in again tomorrow for another everyday English lesson. That's all. Have a good day. Goodbye.